Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. Once again, we'd like to thank you for tuning in with our interactive Bible study. What is an interactive Bible study? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and participating, being a part of this discussion. And you know what? We're all one body. So it's always good for you, and you're able to share your thoughts or what God has placed on your heart, not only for me, but everyone who is listening. For those of you that have tuned in by internet, if you'd like to call and participate, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. Again, the number is 347-4054. Once you call in, you will be connected to our line, and you will be able to participate. We're going to have prayer, and then after prayer, we're going to move right on into our word for this evening. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and be glad in it. We thank you for who you are. You are the Alpha, and you are the Omega. You're the God who said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. We thank you for being able to call you our Father in these days and times. And Father, if there's a time that we need you right now. We ask, Father, that you would just allow us to keep our eyes focused on the cross. That's where our strength is. Because we realize that Christ came, he died, he resurrected, and we might have life and have it more abundantly. I pray that you would build us up in the areas where we're torn down and that you would strengthen us where we're weak. Father, we're asking for a special prayer, those on our prayer list, Pastor Paul Robinson, Minister Bill Robinson, Sister Tanette Dickerson, Brother Stuart Hawthorne, and Father, there are more on our list, but you know who they are, and you know what they're in need of. Father, we ask that you would minister to their hearts, that you would minister to their spirits. We pray that you would just use your word, Heavenly Father, to build them up, encouraging them or, if necessary, healing them. We call out Abba Father because you are a God of love, and we thank you for being that. We place everything at your feet, Father. We turn and we walk by faith and not by sight. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we claim, we declare, and we decree the victory has already been won. Amen, amen, amen. This evening, we are going to go into our scripture, and it is coming from Romans. Romans 14, 1 through 11. 14, 1 through 11. We're going to give you an opportunity to locate that in your Bible, and then we're going to move forward as the Lord says so. Amen. The word of the Lord reads as such. And our title is Put On Christ, Take Off Carnality. Do not pass judgment on one another. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may be that he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or fails. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to maintain his stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced of his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to stand, for to the end,
Amen.
I had to catch my battery. My battery was going, getting ready to close the computer. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
As we continue, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written. Amen.
Amen.
It is the word of the Lord. And what I would like to address this evening is accepting those who are weak in faith. Now, what emerges here is almost like it's a controlling factor. And Paul addresses the issue of the believer's accountability to the Lord. We must remember that we all must stand before God's judgment seat and give account of themselves to God. Now, before we move and exegete in the scripture, I would like to just to, as we go over some things about judging others. Now let's just go back and just think. Now in Matthew 7:15, it says, "Do not judge or you will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of the sawdust of your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?"
My God.
And then it goes on to say, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, whether we like it or not, there's always going to be someone in the bunch who is going to judge you for something. We live in a society where we all strive for normalcy. If anything too out of our comfort level warrants a good judging. Now, in my lifetime, I've noticed people are pushing the boundaries lately. And finally, their judging has reached an all-time high. Because of this, wouldn't this be beautiful if this was a world and we all were accepted of each other? We're all unique individuals. Maybe one day we'll see this. But until then, we'll be judged endlessly. So who's the target? What's the cause? Why does this have to continue? People judge, really, I would say, mostly out of fear. We're afraid of what a person looks like, what a person does, or what he says, and because it goes against everything that we've been taught, we don't understand it, and we become afraid. That might sound ridiculous to you, but it's true. Anything that pushes us outside of our comfort zone will cause And with fear, we make excuses. We procrastinate and we judge. Now, think about this. Here's just a small list of some things that we all judge each other on. Whether we like it or not, I have to say that we're right now, it's skin color. Simply because that one goes without saying, we live in a time right now where it's racism and prejudice that's being pushed. We don't need to bring that here. We already know it exists. We've already known it exists. It's our job to eliminate it. Now, what are some things that people judge others for? Number one, your clothes. Without a doubt, this automatically becomes a judgment. Well, maybe you dress too nice. You'll be judged as a rich snob. Well, okay, let's go the opposite. Maybe you're judged because you dress too poor. Then you'll be judged as a loser. Too casual. You'll be considered as unambitious. You're not really ambitious enough. Thank you, Father. Ambitious enough. What about if you're too risky or sexy? Well, you can guess what that label would be. When did we forget that our clothes only identify our style and not us? Number two judgment, your voice. Oh, yes, depending on whether your voice sounds like you will either instantly turn people off or you'll draw people to you. What about a high-pitched, squeaky voice? That'll get judged and people will say you're whining and a complaining person. What about... I know that if we go on and figure that people will probably say, trust me. And if you have a raspy voice, people will think that you are rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, possibly, untrustworthy.
Mm.
Number three, what about the way that you spend money? If they think that you are saving like a that you're saving like a miser, they will think that you are just, you know what we call it, cheap. If you spend too much, you will be considered a show-off. If you give too much to charity, they just might have something nice to say about you. If you don't have much, they will think that you are not smart enough to get a decent paying job. I'm hearing noises in the background. Please mute your mic. Number four, people judge the way you stand. If you stand with your arms folded across your chest, they will think that you are bossy or arrogant. If you stand with your shoulders hunched over and your head down, they will think that you are lazy or you have really low self-esteem. If you stand with your head held too high and your shoulders back, you will be considered super confident but borderline cocky. I know what you're probably thinking. There's no winning to this game. What about people judging you for what you do for a living? Yeah, they like to judge that too. If you're a cashier at a local grocery store, they will think that you have no ambition. What about a CEO at a big company? They will think that you possibly are a big shot, or maybe you got there with the help of your family. about if you were a stay-home mom? You can just imagine what they're saying about you. Remember? Another judgment that we look at, what about if people say, where did you buy that? Careful where you shop, because people will tear that to pieces. If you shop at a value store, that's right, you've guessed it, you're cheap. Prefer the designer stores, you're a show-off. I know many people who get great designer clothes at bargain stores and will continue to shop at those stores and spend the money that they've saved on, maybe possibly if they're going to travel. And people will say, well, what about life? And number seven, people will judge you on your family. Because you know whatever's wrong with it is your fault, and people will need to point the finger at you. Your family is messed up, and so are you. Your family is full of alcoholics, and so are you. Your family is, and so on, and so on, and so on. It doesn't matter what your family is or isn't. You can't be sure you're getting, you can be sure that you're going to get pegged for the rest of your life. You're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. So when we look at this, we go on and we look at, and then we move on into what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying. And Paul goes on, and I'm going to just only exegete just a little of this, and then I'm going to open the mics up just for comments. And Paul says this is almost like a controlling, and he's saying here, he's saying that except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling or making it a disputable matter. In other words, he's saying that don't cause conflict, or you don't have to cause anything to give your opinion for the purpose of quarreling who's right or who's wrong. And Paul goes on to exhort to the audience to accept those who are weak in faith without quarreling or disputing the matter. We are to welcome. We are to welcome. Not to set them right, but we are to welcome. We're not to give our opinions, but we are to welcome. The exhortation that Paul goes on, he directs, is he's talking to those who are strong in faith. That's right, I'm talking to you. If we go back and look back into Romans, the Gentile believers were made up of the majority of the Roman Christians. And what happened was in that community, to be weak in faith, that was considered a lack of being, or a lack of having fundamental Christian beliefs. And what he goes on to say, it is equivalent to being troubled in conscience. So he's saying here that the Gentiles, when they were judged during those times, that they were looked at as being troubled because of their conscience. And he says that many will look at them as these were people who would grasp the gospel, but it was limited. So their conscience did not allow them to do certain things or permit them to do things under the new covenant. Paul says that do not pass judgment on disputable matters. He says understand this, that when something might be done with either good or bad motives, we should leave the judgment to God and not presume to judge the heart of someone else, which we do not see. Only God can see that. Put on Christ. Take off that carnality. When it comes to things that are obvious or appears obvious to those who are strong in faith, these things may be done with innocent intentions. And yet Paul is saying that those who are strong in faith want to argue with those who are weak in faith and telling them that they are wrong. Debate with them. You want to give your opinion. You want to be right. You want to judge what they're doing and let them know that it's wrong. And Paul is saying here that when you do that, then you're wrong. You are the one who is considered wrong because you chose to judge that person. You don't know what their intentions are. You don't know what their heart is like. So Paul is correcting this matter because that was the confusion with the Gentiles during that time. I'm going to open up the mic for any comments. Any comments? What about, have you ever seen people judge others because of food that becomes an opinion? Have you ever seen that? When someone judges another's because of what they eat? Passing judgment on things that are obviously wrong to you. Explaining the nature of the difference of what Christ is saying that we should do and what we should not do. I call this the strong versus the weak. Paul says that one person's faith allows them to eat anything, mm-hmm. but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Faith that allows a person to eat anything is faith based upon a proper understanding of the gospel. And he says that such faith is strong, and what it does, it frees the conscience from anything that may be confusing. Faith that allows one to eat only vegetables is faith that's based on an inadequate understanding of the gospel. Such a faith is weak and leaves the conscience almost bound and scrupulous.
Mm-hmm.
Paul calls the weak in faith for those who thought that meat was being sold in the market and that there was a time that they should have been sacrificed for idols. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, they ate only vegetables, thinking that the way that there would be, that by eating that way they would not be polluted. And that was their reason for not eating meat, because they felt that it should be used as a sacrifice to idols.
Mm-hmm. So they felt like it was sacrilege. Yeah.
See, and at that time, many people who were strong in the faith and who knew the Lord's teaching that is what it comes out of, what comes out of the mouth, which is defiled to man, and not what goes into it, we're eating, and that was what that was not clear to their conscience.
Mm-hmm. That's good, right there. Mm-hmm.
That's what was not clear to them.
Mm-hmm.
What about some weaker ones that abstain from meat and wine to avoid unknowingly eating foods which had been sacrificed to idols? You see, at that time, the Gentiles, they sold all the sacrificed meats to butcher shops, and they poured out the first fruits of the wine as considered a liberation to the idols. And that was considered of making an offering in the wine press. When they poured it out, that was making offering during that time in the wine press. And there's an author, his name is Bruce Winter. He claims that when Claudius banned the Jews from Rome in AD 49, the officials who controlled the meat market would have withdrawn the provisions of suitable food. There have been some in Rome who were no longer eating meat because kosher meat was not available in the marketplace. So that was the reason, because they chose kosher. They could account for the vegetarians. And that was considered to them as being weak. Those strong in faith are those who are weak in faith. Is what Paul is saying. Both have a tendency to act in uncharitable ways.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says that the one who eats everything must not treat it with contempt and look at the one who does not.
Mm-hmm.
He has in mind that the Gentile believers who made up the greater part of the Roman Christian congregations and who continued to be a part of the congregations when the Jews and the Jewish believers were expelled from Rome during that time. And what he goes on to say is if the Jews returned to the capital and the Jewish believers again became a part of the Christian congregation once they returned. And he says the Gentile believers, strong in their faith, looked down on the Jewish believers who were regarded still held in bondage to their conscience. And we talked about it. When they held in bondage for their conscience, it was because of how they looked at what you should do and what you should not do. So they were really judged. Any comments? Moving on, those who are weak in faith, the apostle says that they are the ones who don't eat everything, and because they don't eat everything, they should not be judged. And why he's saying is they shouldn't be judged because God has accepted them.
Mm-hmm.
And if God has already accepted them, who are we to judge? Who are we to judge? We are to put on Christ, and we are to take off carnality.
Mm-hmm.
To those weak in faith, the apostle says that they're the ones that do not eat everything, and they must not be judged. They must not be judged. Paul regarded the weak in faith, and he keeps saying the weak in faith because they are still conscience bound to observe Jewish food laws and Constantine rites there were a lot of things that they were still doing at that time, and he looked at the believers as weak in faith. They were in fear that the meat sold in the market, that if they ate it, it was considered, because, as I said earlier, it was supposed to have been a sacrifice to idols. It was offered to idols. And because that was done, there was a tendency to condemn other believers because they did not observe these foods. They didn't observe these taboos. They didn't observe these things. So they were condemned by other believers.
You know what? This is a good study. Because even if, like you said, even if one ate and one didn't, what Paul is trying to stress right here, we're all one body. Because here you have us in one body. And because one doesn't eat and one does, we're debating among ourselves, you know. And from the last time I read in the Bible, it talked about there should be no schism. You know, we all have our likes and dislikes, and no one is better than the other. And God and Paul is saying that God has no respect of person. And just like you said, Elder John, he loves all of them as the same. He does. He cares for all of them the same. And with love, which covers everything, there should be no partiality or I do this, you don't do that. I mean, there's certain things in the Bible that we should not do. But this right here, I believe he's talking about where we should have more, like you said, Christ-like, where we should be more sensitive and more understanding and more giving, you know. And we could take that, because it's talking about meats and all that, but we take it just like you gave us a list about clothes and voice and how we stand and living and, you know, all that. You know, we do. We're judgmental people. We are judgmental people. Mm-hmm. But if we put on, like you have the topic, if we put on Christ, there will be no need for our carnal minds to project a carnal, point to the matter. You know, if we put on Christ, we can look at one another in the eyes of how Christ looks at us.
Amen.
You know, and he looks at us with loving kindness. And that's what we should have, loving kindness.
Amen.
To those
Amen.
that goes to store in maybe Walmart or the 99-cent store or whatever, however they, who cares? I believe that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is accepting each other as we are,
because
that's what Christ did. He said, come as you are. He accepted us just the way we were, just the way we are. And he's still accepting us. He's still accepting us because we don't cross every T and dot every I. So with that said, we should, like you said, Elder John, put on Christ. Take
Amen.
Off that carnal
Amen.
Stuff and throw
Amen.
It back, because God
and
is looking
know,
for... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, brother.
You know that applies to everything that we do, what we
yes.
see, how we think.
Yes.
Everything that we do, it applies to that. Paul is appealing to our whole human nature.
Yes.
Even though he's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, and that's why this letter was written, but it's really speaking to our whole humanity, our just humanity, period. Just how human we are and how we think of things, how we look at things. That everything has to have its category, as opposed to accepting whatever we see.
And if I'm getting it right, they all were Christians fighting among themselves about this, that, and the other. And at the end of the day, okay, you believe that. I'm not going to think I'm no better than you because you believe that. Okay, where I read, he said, the scripture said that, and when he comes, he'll put all things in order.
Amen.
So while we're here, you know, he'll put it all in order. So while we're here, I'm not gonna beat you over the head because I eat herb and you eat meat. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
We should just move on from there and love one another and do like Christ. Mm-mm.
But you know where it runs into a problem here. Paul is addressing those who are strong in faith.
Yes.
And those who are weak in faith.
Weak.
And they're weak in faith, but they're doing things because they have a sincere heart. They have an innocent heart.
Yes.
And what they're doing is because they believe that's what's right. It's not that they are going against the principles of God. They're not going against it, but they just believe it may be right. And what Paul is saying is that there are those who want to argue or become opinionated to prove their point. I know more than you. Why? Because I've been around longer. I know
the
word.
Or I went to school.
And this is what the word says. So therefore, we judge by putting them in a box.
That's good.
Paul is saying that we are not to judge. We aren't to judge. Those who are strong in faith, we aren't to judge. Look at them and tell. And well, you know what? You're wrong for doing that.
Mm-mm.
We're judging what they do. And you notice there are two categories. They're strong in faith, and there are those who are weak in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that those who are strong in faith, that we should not argue, debate, or become opinionated for those who are weak in faith because of what they're doing. We don't argue that. Everything should be done in love, not to prove a point.
And they're weak now, and that's and just like you're saying, and what Paul is saying, and they're weak now. Okay, we should have that sensitivity that they are weak. They don't believe like that, but like you said, they're doing all that they can. But this is what they believe right now. So by and by, they will come into maybe where you are, and their weakness will no longer be weakness. Because the knowledge is what, you know, we'll get free with the knowledge and the understanding and the experience of Christ.
Amen. We grow.
Because you're strong, I should be more lenient or more accepting of your weakness or more, what is the word? More understanding, that's not the word, but more understanding of your weakness. And if you got all this, you should act different, you know. Don't be so pompous, you know. Individuals can be so pompous. Act differently. Just because you got more knowledge, just because you went to school and I didn't, don't be throwing them big words at me. Come down where I am. I didn't, you know, come to where I am. And talk to me. Give me. I know what you're saying, brother. And talk to me. Understand. All I know is
I can remember.
God don't want no division. Okay,
I can remember sitting during a sermon and the preacher. Every word that came out of his mouth were words I didn't even know what he was saying.
Yeah. Sound like an old joke.
I didn't look up to him because he was communicating and using a language that I was not familiar with. If anything, I just actually shut him off. I shut him off because he wasn't appealing to me. He wasn't speaking to me.
And you know what's so sad about that? Jesus didn't even do that. He spoke in parables, and then he even broke it down.
Amen, amen.
You know, he didn't just leave us hanging there. You know, he broke it down so we could get the understanding, because that's what it's all about, us getting the understanding of this walk of faith.
Amen.
But sometimes people are just so stuck. They wanna look at me, and I got good clothes, good knowledge, went to school, blah, 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 blah. And at the end of the day, God's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Did you not see that that brother or that sister right there needed your love and needed your understanding? And what
there
did you do? All you
there
did
you
was
go.
Throw it in their face.
There you go.
Move
go.
Away from me.
I
can't. Come on, Elder.
Sorry, we weren't called to be know-it-alls. We were called to evangelize. We were called to minister.
Amen.
To one another, you know, to mm-hmm. bring others into the fold. And if
Amen.
Folks can't understand you, and if that's not your mission, if you know, I'm not saying that people aren't called to teach,
yes.
you know, or called to learn, you know, to learn like that. But when it comes to interactions with one another, and work with people that are unsaved or people that are babes in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you're supposed to reach them. You feed them. You
mm-hmm.
feed them. You know?
Amen.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good, Elder. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's good, Elder. And you know what? We're supposed to scan our audience. And not only that, not even an audience. You know, that spirit of discernment, or even when they speak out of their mouth, should let you know who are a Christian, where you can go with them to pull them in, to bless them, and not
Amen.
Look down through your nose at them.
Amen.
Oh, we got to get
and
it
I
together.
I think that's very, very, very critical. You use the word bless. You use the word bless. And that's what we're supposed to do. We are to always bless others. Not
Amen.
Just but bless others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We're to put on Christ. I like that.
Amen.
Put on Christ.
And I think that we all have to, and I say we all because I'm saying the body of Christ, that the first law is we are to love one another. Love is the greatest
mm-hmm.
gift that we have. And when we're judging another, then that's not showing love.
No.
When we are criticizing, when we are giving our opinion because of how someone goes about doing something, that is not showing love.
Mm-mm.
And what Paul is saying here is that there are those who are weak in faith, and that we are to nurture them.
Yes.
We are to nurture them. We are not to judge them because of how they think, how they dress, how they look, how they talk. We are not to judge. Whatever, we are not to judge. Paul is saying that we all are going to, if God has accepted them, then who are we to judge? If God has accepted them, then who are we
That's right.
to judge?
That's
because
right.
we're all going to have to stand
before
the
judgment
seat.
Seat.
We're all going to
yeah,
be accountable
yeah.
before God.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul stresses it very strong. He categorizes it in two different, there are two different categories. There are those who are strong in faith and those who are weak in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that God has accepted them both.
Yes.
What they're doing, they may be doing with an innocent heart. And since we can't see their heart, then how or why should we, the strong in faith, judge?
And that's right, right there. The heart. See, man judges the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. And like you said before, how they're doing it, they're doing what they're doing out of love for Christ. Even though they're where they are in their weakness, they're still doing. They're just, we got to get it together. We got to put on Christ. Put on Christ.
Amen. Amen. Any more comments? Augustine goes on to say that a time when people were strong in their faith and who knew, and this is what we were talking about before, who knew the Lord's teaching, that is what comes out of their mouth which defiles another person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what goes in, but they're eating, but what comes out of their mouth.
Yeah, out of their heart.
And what comes
out of
their mouth determines if they have a clear conscience to God's principles.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Comes out of their mouth, which comes out of their heart. And like you said, not what goes into the man that defiles him, but what comes out. And out of the abundance of the heart, the issues of life or whatever flows. It's either life or death.
Yeah, they're talking about what they're eating. They're looking at what they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is not looking at that. What he's doing is he's looking at what's coming out their mouth, the judgment that's coming out their mouth upon their brother or their sister.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that what comes out their mouth is defiling another person. It defiles them.
Mm-hmm.
It defiles another person.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And when we defile another person, then Paul is saying that we don't have a clear conscience. We don't have a clear conscience. And that's what was happening during, you know, the Gentile and Jewish days during that time. He was saying that they didn't have a clear conscience of what they was doing.
Mm.
It was wrong, according to those who knew, who were strong in faith. It was wrong because of their thinking. And Paul was saying that it defiled them. Once it wasn't what went inside of them, it's what came out. Those words, those judgmental comments, those opinions, those argumental statements, the argumentative statements, when you want to create an argument just to prove a point. You don't know what you're talking about. The Bible doesn't say that. So why are you doing this?
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh is right.
Mm-hmm. And so that is that's all Paul's argument here. What he is trying to relay in his message is how we are to respond to others. And he's saying, do not respond in judgment.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I gotta admit, sometimes I fall in it. I fall short on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all been there.
I fall short on that. So, when we look at Paul's exhortation and what he's saying, when we look at that, when we look at what Paul is saying here, when we look at what Paul is saying in terms of what comes out of our mouths and defiles another person, that becomes extremely judgmental. And what becomes judgmental, Paul is saying that only God can judge. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? How can you get to the point where you can judge another person because of what another person wears?
Right.
How can you get to the point where you're at the point where you can judge another person because of how another person stands?
Hmm.
How can do you judge another person because of where they go to shop?
Mm-hmm.
All of these, Paul is saying, become judgmental factors. And just the way someone talks, the tone of their voice, we judge that by how a person talks.
Mm-hmm.
And what Paul is saying is not what goes in, but it's what comes out that defiles a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what his writing is all about, making sure that we don't judge those who are weak in faith. Because they're weak in faith, we don't have to stress our opinion to show that we're right, to turn it into an argument.
Forgetting that we've been there, we weren't always strong. You know?
We all sin and fall short.
That's it.
We all sin. And as I said earlier, you know, we're seeing, even Matthew, he talks about it in terms of judging someone else. And he goes on, as I said earlier, do not judge or you will be judged. This is coming from Matthew 7:15. For the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then he goes on to say, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And he's saying, and Matthew was saying that you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
You're a hypocrite. Why? Because first you've got to take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck out of your other brother's eye.
Mm.
And so what he's saying is you got to get it right first. You got to get yourself right. We got to get ourselves right.
That's right. That's right.
That's almost like saying something to someone else and they say, look in the mirror first.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the mirror first before you make a comment about someone else. So our topic has been put on Christ, take off carnality.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that mindset of what's wrong and what's right. Let God be the judge of that.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, we are to love one another. We are to be encouragers. We are to lift others up, not to bring anyone down. God is the only one that can judge, because we're all going to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
As we go into closing, any comments?
I just like that. I'm thinking that how those that do that, they need a heart transplant, because God definitely deals with it's a heart thing. Love is a heart thing. Everything is a heart thing. And if we put on Christ and we allow him to judge, because he's the judge, to judge, we will be gracious unto our fellow man.
Amen.
You know, this was a good topic.
Any more comments, anyone on the line? Any more comments before we close?
Amen. Put on Christ.
Minister Armand, would you give us a closing prayer before we close?
Who? Me? Praise God. Yes. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you today. We thank you for the word that's come forth. We thank you for using the elder. Lord, we thank you that this word is life transforming and changing. Lord, we pray that the listening audiences has had an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And, Lord, we pray that they did receive this bread of life. And, Father God, as we leave from this time right now, bless each and every life, each and every home that's represented on this phone line today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My past.